Hi, my name is Sarah Tavera and I moved from Portugal to London to work with Samuel Leeds. In this episode, you're going to learn about big energy equals a big bank account. So, Samuel, you very famous for your energy levels. How do you keep that up?
I think I'm just excited about what I do. I only do things that I love doing.
Yeah, but even though, how do you nurture that energy in you day after day, hour after hour? I work with you.
Yes.
And I see you every day, every hour, and we work long hours, full of energy.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I think partly it's a choice. I know that big energy equals big bank. If you have not got big energy, you're going to lose. You're going to lose at business. You're going to lose at sales. You're going to lose at getting deals. You're going to lose at property.
Were you always like that in terms of energy? When did you start feeling that energy and the levels of energy that you had were important in your life?
Well, it's a combination of things. Number one is it's a choice. So if I'm not feeling like having a lot of energy, if I'm at work and I'm feeling like, then I'll make a decision to snap out of it. That's one thing. Second thing is I'm passionate about what I do. I love doing what I'm doing. I love real estate. I love media. I love everything I do. I love doing. And then thirdly is I put myself in an environment where everybody's like that. The reason that we wanted you to come from Portugal to the UK to work full time on growing the business with us was because of your energy. Same with everything. Yeah. When we hire people based on their energy. So I just think it's just a massive, for me, it's massive. I'd much rather hire someone who has great energy, but their skill levels aren't good, than they have good skill levels, but their energy sucks.
I agree, completely agree.
I just think energy is everything.
Yeah, but you know, I have rituals. Like I do meditate, I need to read a lot, spend time alone to recharge myself. Yeah. When I go back, I go and I just walk by the sea, which really empowers me to feel my energy back.
Yeah.
But what are your rituals? What do you do?
Well, for a start, I know that we, as an office, every morning at 9 a.m.
we start
the morning with a lot of energy. We do a dance. We get in a circle. We have music on. We throw balls. We talk about what we're most excited about, which I guess is a business ritual. From a personal point of view, I just choose to think about what I'm grateful for every morning, every night. But rather than a ritual, it's more of a habit. It's more of just focusing on what's...
on the successes that we had professionally.
Celebrate success.
That's what we do.
Most people don't celebrate success. Most people don't want to toot their own horn.
Why do you think that is?
Because it's very British. It's very...
Really? You think it's cultural?
It's cultural.
Because I think Portuguese people are really bad at celebrating.
Yeah, but English people
Yeah.
You think English people are good at celebrating because you work in an English office where everybody is.
Yeah.
But if you went to the next door office, you would disagree. You think that English people are good at celebrating because you go to our events, you're in the office. And I'm not being disrespectful. I know you've been to England outside of
Company. Yeah.
But honestly, in England, if you toot your... If you're in the States, United States of America, and you're driving a Ferrari, everyone will congratulate you. Nice, man. What do you do for a living? How can I do that? If you're in the UK driving a Ferrari, they'll just call you a wanker.
Is it probably European thing?
The spirit behind it. The
jealousy.
Spirit behind it. Yeah, but also, and then as a result of that, successful people don't then want to be over the top with their successes. Oh my gosh, I just got a pay rise. Oh my gosh. And like, oh no, because then how's that going to make everybody else feel?
Yeah.
Well, forget that. Because they should feel inspired. And if they're not inspired, if they're jealous, then you want to detract them out of your life anyway.
Yeah.
So make them jealous. That's how I feel. And that's why people sometimes don't necessarily like me. But then some people are super inspired. But if you can't toot your own horn, no one else will. And part of that, I think, goes with the energy thing.
Yeah,
high energy.
Absolutely.
People might think, oh, they're over the top.
And it's compromised because success attracts success.
Yeah.
So if you keep reminding yourself of your successes daily, in a daily basis, is a good habit.
Yes.
And you just keep on building on that pyramid of success, and more success just comes along. Last month, what were your top five success stories?
My top five success stories. Wow, what a big question. So last month was November. Okay. I would say meeting James Caan from Dragon's Den. That was
epic. Big one, yeah.
I would also say, I don't know how much of it is private. So I don't know whether I can actually...
Oh, come on, let's just speak a little bit in your private life. A little bit.
No, not even in my private life. I'm actually talking private in business, but there was some people last month, you know about this, some ridiculously famous people.
A star
that reached out to me and said, can you mentor me in property?
Yeah, I know. We cannot talk yet about
but
that.
But some ridiculous... That, for me, that was like, wow, you know...
That's a whole level.
That would have been... people would have said that was a pipe dream even 6-7 years ago. Pipe dream. You're never going to have... Like, that's a pipe dream. So that was amazing. I also think on a personal level, biggest achievement... It's not personal. It's still business. It's just... Some of the hires. Some of the new people we've got in the office.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. We have amazing staff. Yeah.
You know how bad? Do you know how badly I love surrounding myself with awesome people?
Yeah.
You know when we hire someone and I'm just like, bang, punch me in the face, like this person's incredible. Yeah. I mean, we've had so many hires like that this last month. Number four is the whole. Okay, I can talk about this again. You're drawing all this privacy out of me. Okay, so we've got an app. So we're doing something very exciting in the technology space.
Yes. That's very new for our company,
very
right?
Very new. Last month.
It's amazing.
Last month. Again, can't talk about that. Ridiculously excited about that. Fifth thing I'm most excited about from last month. Technically, it was last month. It was last week, but it was fell in November. Was the my team, the Samuel Leeds little crew, have bullied me into getting a full-time personal trainer. Secretly because
I'm so very happy about that one.
I know you are. Secretly because they want us a personal trainer. So they're like, Samuel, if you get a full-time personal trainer, it will be really good for you. Also be good for us. I think that's the psychology behind it. But hey, it will be really good. And I know how much you love the whole health, because you've been going on to me about that for ages. So I think if that comes off, and as soon as this interview finishes, I am downstairs, back into the main office, and I'm meeting with two personal trainers that both want to come full-time, potentially. So that's epic, crazy stuff. So I think that makes up five.
So that was a decision that you made about your health.
I made the decision. Yeah, last month.
About your health.
Yeah.
So you're going to help the personal trainer, actually.
The thing is, okay, here's the thing. When it comes to health, is I am one of those people, I'm either all in or I'm all out.
Yeah.
And when it comes to helping people and inspiring people and YouTube videos and branding and property and making money and business, I am all in. When it comes to health, I've just been all out, really. I've not really. I mean, I did, when I broke my leg, I did kind of take a bit of time to lose some weight because I was told I'd never walk again, and I thought I'd be damned if I'll be a fat cripple. Yeah. I'll be a cripple. That'd be bad enough. I'll be fat. That's bad enough. A fat cripple. So when I'm overweight and I was told you might not walk again, that's when I just thought, forget this. So I lost like a couple stone. And I've kind of kept it off, but I'm still in the mediocre.
Yeah, I don't know. We've been so busy with the business, the moving to London, the hiring the staff, all the events. You're doing more events than ever before.
I want someone to just be with me all the time, just to tell me what to eat, make sure I'm working out.
But I kind of have the feeling that you now made a decision that you want to actually take care of your body.
I have. And I've also given authority to Valerie, my PA, to hire someone. And then make sure that they make it happen. So sometimes if you can't believe in yourself or if you can't do it yourself, you can just pay someone to kind of believe in you on your behalf.
Pay someone to
Yeah. I'm not saying you can pay someone to get you a six pack, but it's the same with people, with our students. I wish that there was a health version of Samuel Leeds. I will kick people's frigging ass into becoming successful.
Yeah.
You know, I will literally bully people into being financially free. I'll drag them over the finish line.
Okay. Do you think that's the same theory for your PT to bully you into you? So what are you looking for a PT?
More mindset. It is more mindset. It's kind of like finding out your true reason why and then reminding you of that and holding you to account on that. If there was a Samuel Leeds version of me but for health, that person would be so helpful to me, and that person would also blow up because it's so needed, because most health people are pussies.
So why do you want to lose weight?
I don't just want to lose weight. I just want to be healthy.
Why?
Because right now I got so much energy and I love life so much. And I can go on stage for 14 hours and I can drive all over the country. I can fly all over the world. But I'm 28. And I want that same level of energy when I'm 58 or when I'm 68. And I know that unless I prepare now for the future, the worst thing that could happen to me is when I'm 48, if I'm like, I'm tired, man. I don't want that.
Yeah.
I want to be like, I want to feel like I feel like now.
I think I've known you for a year now, and I never heard you say, I'm tired.
No, you will never hear me say that. Well,
you might look a bit down after being on stage for 14 hours.
Yeah.
But you never say, I'm tired. You just say, I'm just going up for my room.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow at 8.
I need a timeout, man.
But that's good that you had the vision for the future and you're prepping yourself. Yeah. And you're making a decision today. Becoming healthy is
Will
an important
Smith.
Part.
Will Smith. When I see people like Will Smith, who's got the same energy I've got, he's got that cool, sharp pomade, but he's 50, and I'm just, and he looks better than I look. Wow. You know, his body and stuff, and I'm just thinking, I'm 28. Will Smith's putting me to shame. I want to meet Will Smith. I'll tell Valerie to see if she can make that happen, or Amelia.
I'm sure she will. If she'll find you a PT,
you know how badly,
I mean, she'll get Will Smith.
You know how badly I'm inspired by Will Smith? You know Will Smith? He's so cool. He's wealthy. He's charismatic. He loves people. He's inspiring. Yeah. He's humble.
He's also a giver like you.
Yeah, I love Will Smith.
Yeah.
I want to meet Will Smith. Will Smith, if you're listening, bro, give me an invitation to go down to the States. Let's hook up. Let's do some dinner.
Or he's always invited here.
Yeah, of course.
Always. Okay, so why is the energy, like the energy is a big part of you.
Yeah.
How do you put that at your event? How do you use that energy in your events so people can actually profit from it and get inspired by it?
Great question. Okay, I think there's a few ways. Firstly, people that want to do property, one of the things they lack is confidence. And because they lack confidence, they lack energy.
Yeah.
And the reason they lack confidence is because they lack knowledge. So what I do is I firstly, here's the freedom formula of how I teach, okay? Mm. Number one is I'll tell people how to do something. So I'll give them the XYZ. Bang, 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 here's how you stack a deal. Or bang, 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 here's how you call an agent and speak to them and negotiate a below market value deal. Bang, 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 and I'll just tell them how to do it. And everyone goes, cool, that makes sense. And then they're expecting me to, like, you know, tell them more. And they're writing notes down.
Yeah, it's just make it easier.
Yeah, yeah. Or no, they'll be expecting me, oh yeah, I like this information. That's my YouTube videos. Mm. On YouTube, you'll get that. Tell, tell, tell. But at the event, it's very different. Yeah. At the event, it goes, here's how you do it. Bang, bang, bang. Now, I'm going to do it. And then the energy's like, oh. Right, now there's suspense.
It's just like 1,000 people in the room.
Yes.
And the room is quiet.
Yes.
And everyone is on you.
Correct. Now I'll say, someone give me a strategy. You know, rent to rent, HMO, lease option, direct to vendor. Give me a strategy. In fact, who's the most skeptical person in the room? Okay, stand up. Give me a strategy. All right, cool. Sit back down. Who else is feeling super skeptical? Who's great? Right, okay, stand up. Give me an area.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. You just said Manchester. You just said rent to rent.
Bam.
Now I'm going to, following what I've just told you, because anyone can tell you something. Now I'm going to do it live. Now suddenly the energy changes in the room. Now suddenly people are like, wow, this will be interesting. Right, then I'll do it live. Pick up the phone, do the deal. Energy begins to change. People begin to sit on the edge of their seats, and I'll either secure a deal or I won't. Either way, I'll draw lessons from it. But then, thirdly, this is the real bit. Now you know what to do. Now you've seen me do it. Guess what's happening? And then everyone gets scared.
Like, what's he
right.
saying?
Yeah. They'll group them up, put them in partners, or depending on the event, you know.
Yeah.
Your turn now. Your turn now. And by the way, we'll be holding you to account. And by the way, and then suddenly, whew, they do it. They've got the knowledge, which gives them the confidence. They're now doing it, which gives them the power and the energy. And then draw lessons upon that.
Yeah.
And I think the definition of educate is not to... Yeah, you
draw
got it.
Out.
But you tell me. Tell me, what's the definition?
It's to draw out of people.
Yes. So
what
education.
They haven't said.
So education is to draw out, but what do they do in schools?
They stuff you in.
Yes.
With everything they can.
At schools, they cram in.
Yeah.
Cram in. That's the exact opposite of true education. Education is to draw out. At school, they ring the bell. They make you compliant. They teach you to be a very good boy and girl, perfect employee to retire in 40 years on 40% of what you couldn't afford to live on when you've been working for 40 hours a week.
In topics that you might not even be interested in. Therefore, it becomes something so boring.
And that's another thing as well. Teaching stuff that's actually applicational. Rather than teaching you about like boring stuff, it's like, this is how you do a deal. No one can come to our events and be bored.
No.
It just can't
happen. No.
So I think that's energy in the room. That's how it happens.
Yeah.
And then also as well, because I love your question so much, even things like having good music on. So people come in, the music's pumping. And people say to me, you know, oh, Samuel, because I'll get him to do stuff. Sometimes I'll say, you know, high five the person next to you, you know. And people are like, oh, man, just give me the content.
Yeah.
I don't want to do a high five. Listen, moron. Listen, dick. Here's why I get you to do a high five. Because statistically, the human brain can only focus on a person's voice, regardless of how interesting it is or how valuable it is, for about 18 minutes before the human brain begins to drift like it does in schools. So your human brain will drift off and you'll miss the content. We're here for 14 hours into the crash course. First day, 14 hours. I need you to be with me. So probably every 18 minutes, I'll get you to do something, maybe a quick state change. It might be 5 seconds just to turn to the person next to give them a high five, something super quick. Why? So that then you're ready to learn and ready to receive more. You can fight me all you want and you can be like, oh, I don't like this, I don't like that. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line are no property training company in Europe gets the results that we get because of the way that we teach. So instead of being proud, instead of being worried about being over the top, instead of fighting, instead of being like, oh, I'm going to be cool, you can be really cool and you'll be really broke, or you can be a bit over the top and you can be really rich. So let's just do this. And I think that and people get that. And then it's
you
just,
make
it's,
people extremely uncomfortable in your, you know, and I think, but they actually do it, and then in the end, they thank you.
Yeah.
Because they, no one challenged them to become uncomfortable.
Yeah. Everyone just pats you on the back, tells you how great you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, oh, you do really well. How are you? Fine. And how are you? Fine. What is that?
Depression.
I'm not fine.
It's probably depression.
Maybe it is. How's your week been? Not too bad. I'll be damned if on my gravestone it says Samuel. Not too bad, Leeds. Come on,
what
man.
What do you want your gravestone to say?
I wanted to say Samuel friggin' awesome, Leeds.
Yeah.
Samuel inspired hundreds of thousands of people to be better. Samuel who left the world better than he found the world, Leeds.
Yeah. You're already doing that.
Thanks. And thank you for helping me become the best version of myself. You're my mindset coach.
Mm, thank you. But when we talk about energy a lot, and people, and you know, it's just people, what is energy?
Energy is everything.
What is energy?
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything is energy.
We rise energy in the rooms. Our office, you know, is just a massive ball of energy all
the
time.
This wall is energy.
Yeah, everything's energy. But people are very skeptical. And I don't talk about energy with a lot of people, just the ones that are already familiar with the terms of energy.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you're just talking nonsense.
It's just so not nonsense.
Right?
But yeah.
So how can we do that so we can actually affect more people?
Yeah.
To this new cultural wave that is growing.
Yeah. Well, how can we get people on board with the idea that they need bigger energy?
So we can actually explain it in a rational way.
Yeah, makes sense. I think firstly, what I do is I tell people big energy equals big bank. Because everyone wants a big bank. Everyone wants a big bank. And it's so true. And when people link, actually, me having a certain type of energy is going to lead to me having better results. Health results, me being more successful, me having more friends. Even friends, if you go to a party and you're Mr. No Energy, standing around like a friggin' loser, guess what? You're not gonna have any friends. No one's gonna want to spend time with you because you're not gonna make people feel good. You go to a party, you've got a good energy, and you love people.
Yeah, you just attract.
You attract people. So and you attract what you become. So I think rather than sort of telling people, you know, oh, energy is important and everything is energy as a theoretical thing for people just to be like, okay, that's weird. It's more like, hey, what do you want in your life? Oh, you want more money? Oh, okay, you want to be more influential? You want to get promotions at work? You want to get fit body, you want to get a fit girlfriend, whatever it might be that you want to get. Okay, you've got to attract that, and to attract it, you've got to become it, and to become it, you've got to have a lot of energy, you've got to have the right kind of energy. Because honestly, sometimes people, I will not want to spend time with people, they haven't said a word, they'll walk into the room, just the energy, straight away, I'm just like, ugh. I'm just allergic to the energy of that person.
I know,
and
I feel the same,
I'm done, man, I've checked out.
Yeah.
They must say, that's so harsh, give them a chance. No. They did that to themselves by having such a repulsive energy.
So how do you clean yourself from bad energy to good energy?
Get around the right people. Yeah. Get around the right people. Put yourself in the right environment. Environment is stronger than willpower.
Yeah.
Don't beat yourself up. I need more energy. Just put yourself around people that are positive, that want the best for you. energy. Because there's also an energy in being a caring person. So, you know when someone doesn't want the best for you, but they don't say it? Oh, I just got promoted! You know, oh, good. That's not the response. The response is, amazing! Good for you! You know, so people can say the right words, but they don't mean it. Yeah. They don't back it up with their energy. You want to be around people that actually have an energy that loves and supports you. And then also, energy is something to be passed on. Energy is not so... When people say to me, I'm just saving my energy. It's the most stupid, ridiculous thing. Because do you know why it's so ridiculous? Because, as you said, what for? Yeah, okay. What are you saving it for? What's this big thing? You getting married tomorrow or something? Like, what's happening? But here's the thing, right? Before an athlete goes for a run, if they go, I'm going to save my energy until my run day, then you're gonna suck at run day. You need to start running and getting your... And in the same way, people that say, I'm going to save my energy. No, no, no. You need to start practicing now. Because when you become active, what happens is you then have more energy. It's like when you go to the gym. I don't want to go to the gym because I'm just going to get really tired. No, you're going to go to the gym, then you're going to have energy for the rest of the day. Because that's how this thing works.
Yeah. I agree. Completely agree. I think we we need to be self-responsible as well for the levels of energy that we bring to each room that we enter. Meaning, most people just like, oh, I'm actually waiting for you to have more energy. Even in relationships, a husband and a wife, just like, oh, if you don't have too much energy, I'm just relying on you to have the energy for me.
Mm.
And sometimes I think we need to do a self-assessment and see, oh, where's my energy? Oh, no. Let's push this up.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you change, you make a decision, like you said before.
Yeah.
Make a decision that your energy is high.
Yeah.
And it will be high. And then... at the end of the day, you just inspire more people to actually become and have a better day.
What would you rather have? Would you rather have a fiery, aggressive energy or an apathetic, lazy energy?
I'm the first one all the way, day in.
Because sometimes people
I just
say,
don't relate to the apathetic one.
People might say, you know, oh, you've got a bad energy. They might try and flip the cards on you. Oh, you're making me feel bad. No, my energy is not a bad energy. My energy is actually a fiery energy that's making you have to do something different and making you uncomfortable. It's not a bad energy. A bad energy is something that makes people fall into apathy, whereas a good energy is something that springs people into action.
Yeah.
But also in love. I used to sometimes ruin the energy in the office by accident.
Why?
Did I not? I felt that I did. Like, let's say you're having a meeting or something's going on. I'd come in, not in a bad way, but you also need to be sensitive because its energy is powerful. So if I come in the morning, I'm like, yo, what's up? You know, how you guys doing? What's going on? But you're actually having a sensitive moment. You're having a quiet moment.
Yeah.
Then I'll ruin the energy
by
mistake.
Yeah.
So I think you've also got to be sensitive.
About everyone's energy.
About different energies, about different emotions, about what's going on. I used to come into the office, I'd walk in at 9:15 and be like, yo, what's up, man? How you guys doing? Hey, yo, you're awesome. What's... And actually, that's disrespectful because people have just had a quiet moment. You've had your morning meeting, and then you've said right, and you're talking. You've had a sentimental thing, and I come in, and people are in a different, and I just break into the thing.
Yeah.
So you've got to be sensitive, and ultimately, everything you do, whether if you're being aggressive or I say aggressive, more like passionate, or you're calling people, you're being direct. Everything needs to be done in love. Everything needs to be done in wanting people to succeed, in wanting people to be better.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Yeah, I agree. Love.
Love. Love. Love. Love wins. Love wins. I have so much love bubbling in my heart for so many people.
Yeah.
I just call people up randomly and just like, you know how much I love you? That's how much love I have. And I did the same with you, Sarah. How many times do I call you and just say, Sarah, I just want to call you just to say, I love you.
Oh my God, so many times. And you always make me cry. Sometimes he makes a video about something that happened and he just...
yeah.
Sends me the video and I'm like... meditating on something and then I just look at it and it's always like a gratitude type of thing that he makes me feel, and it always comes in the right moment. And I don't believe in coincidence. So it's like the energy for me is telepathic in the sense that we all one, we all connected as a whole.
And
so when you're in the same frequency, and I kind of feel like we all are here in our business, it's just, you give me whatever I need at that moment in time. I feel like I give another person whatever they need at that moment in time.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a hug or just, oh, well done. That was amazing. It costs nothing.
Nothing.
But you know what? I actually feel like I gain more than I'm actually giving to that person.
Yeah. And also makes the giver feel good.
Yeah.
It's better to give than to receive.
Amazing.
You know what, though? Everybody waits until somebody's dead before they tell that person how much they love them, how great they were. And I just don't believe in that. Why wait until someone's dead to say, that person was fantastic, this is how they impacted my life?
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
I think it's, again, it's a cultural thing.
It's cultural, right?
People feel so uncomfortable saying, hey, you're awesome, man. And then it's like, oh, what's the agenda? There's no agenda. I just got it bubbling in my heart and I needed to say it. I love you, you're amazing. Like, but I think it's cultural. People wait until people are dead before they say it. And I'm not about that. I just rather just tell people up front.
Yeah. And then if I hug people. That's my thing. I just hug people. Yeah. And, you know, when they come to the office and we interview them, I was like, we hug us here, so,
What if they're not a hugger? How does that...
They feel so uncomfortable. It's just so funny. It's like, just keep going with me. You're okay. I'm just hugging you.
It's funny, though, because you are very well cultured. You have a very good etiquette. You know all about that kind of stuff.
I warn people in that case. If I feel like that's just going to be a cultural shock, I go like... I'm going to shake your hand.
In some cultures, you can't even shake
a hand.
But
now I'm going to push you and I'm going to hug you.
Yeah.
And you can feel the muscles of the other person going like, okay, this is what you do here, okay.
If you're culturally aware, but you choose to break it, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But when you're ignorant as to what, in some cultures, you can't even shake the hand.
I don't think I could do that to your queen.
No. You know the culture and you know what to do. But sometimes we're too bound up in what's socially acceptable and culture and PC. Yeah. And we know, for instance, even celebrating your success goes back to being PC. Oh, I don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah.
Listen.
Because you're kind of reminding people that I'm not achieving that.
But people spend too much time trying to be liked.
Yeah.
Trying to not offend. Trying to fit in. People spend so much time trying to do that. And I just think if everybody thought, actually, you know what? My heart is filled with love for everybody. I love people. I want people to succeed. But I'm not concerned whether people like me or not. I'm not concerned about fitting in. I'm not concerned about whether I offend people. I'm going to be me. I'm going to share my opinions. I'm going to inspire people. I'm going to be a giver. But I'm not concerned with anything else. I think the world would be a much better place. So sometimes certain cultures, this whole not too bad, I'm fine culture is complete nonsense.
Yeah, but it's not like you don't care. It's just that you're thinking with your heart, brain.
Yeah.
Really. It's not like you let it go because your heart is so big and you're just giving. That it's not that you don't care about what other people will think. It's just that... The cycle that you bring in by just putting the love and just giving.
Yeah.
It just rotates and gives all the abundance that you need.
And I'm too busy looking at the... Even like on social media, like I'll get some hate comments. But I don't even see them because I just gloss over them. I think most people, if they put a video out and they had 100 comments that were like, oh, you're amazing. This really helped me. Thank you so much. And then they had one comment saying, you know, this was a terrible video or whatever. Yeah. Most people would look at the one. I can't believe that person said this.
Yeah.
Like, why focus on the one bad when there's 99 good? If you haven't got the haters, if you haven't got people that you're offending, you are not being...
But see, that's a habit you have.
Yeah.
You just focus on the positive. But you have to build that habit throughout your life.
Yeah.
It's a habit.
And also as well, having good people around me. See, I am my own worst critic, okay? And I've got people around me. I'm hard on myself.
You know this.
I'm hard on myself. What do I say? What did I even say this morning? The video that I sent you. I mean, the voice note.
Yeah.
Was that tapping ourselves on the back saying we're amazing? Or was that saying, hey, we haven't got the date published on the website for the next crash courses.
Yeah.
It sucks. We suck. Let's, like, most of my business meetings is me sitting down talking about how badly I suck and we suck, but that excites me because it shows all the potential for growth. But the thing is, I've got people around me that will tell me when I'm being bad or when I'm doing something that's not right. You'll tell me. You do tell me regularly. Hey, what you said then was rude. Hey, that wasn't good. Hey, this, you know, but that's called being a leader. That's called being a friend.
Yeah.
And I've got people around me that will do that, that will say, dude, you're out of line there. Hey, your content was terrible on that video.
Yeah,
but we tell you
because you open for improvement. You always want to grow.
But the reason that I had to say that is because there's one thing which is focusing on the positive and putting your head in the sand in the negative. And another thing being open for the negative, being coachable, but at the same time, not letting some dickhead troll who's 15 years old, who says, actually, your investment strategy is not going to work in 2020 because blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, dude.
Yeah, but also the feedback I gave you, for instance, is, it comes from love. It comes from a place. Yes. It doesn't come from hate, and you just... And it's constructive.
Yeah.
And it's just, how can we go to the next level?
Yeah.
But here,
and I so many, so many people around me that will do that. People that will call me out. People that will... Even my pastor, he meets me once a month and he'll just tell me all the things, you know, in love.
Yeah.
You know, and I have friends, I have directors in the company that do that. And that then liberates me to just kind of be positive. And if I'm getting hate from people who I don't even know.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, I just don't even notice. I just gloss over it. I'm so disinterested.
Yeah. There's no point.
But if you
that's
haven't that, got any of
social
that.
Media for me, I'm not the best at it at all. But I think that's it. I just don't, it doesn't feed me the energy that I need to. I get it from, again, hugs.
Yeah, yeah. But and again, if you do focus on the negative,
no,
then what is gonna then it's then gonna affect my energy.
Yeah.
So that when I'm trying to help people, when I'm in business meetings and I'm talking about how to do the next multi-million-pound deal, my headspace is in the wrong place. Words of positive affirmation. There you go. Declarations.
Yeah, declarations is a big one.
Declaration.
Yeah.
Really important.
You do declarations at your events, don't you?
At my events, and I do them myself.
Why are they important?
Okay, so just for anyone that's thinking, what the heck is a declaration?
Yeah, maybe.
A declaration is when you speak to yourself. Everybody speaks to themselves. Everybody.
Yeah.
Even if it's a little voice in their head that's just talking.
You're not good enough.
Right.
You're not going to do it.
And for anyone that says, I don't have a little voice in my head, that's the little voice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So everyone has little voices, or they even speak, or they're like, oh, you're an idiot. Or, oh, why did you do that? Or, oh, you'll never, ever catch me saying that kind of thing. I speak words of positive affirmation over my life every single day, you know.
Yeah.
So and then you speak
you
it.
You trained yourself to get there.
Yeah, you speak it into existence.
Yeah.
And you become what you prophesy over your own life.
Yeah.
And if you're constantly saying, "Oh, you're an idiot. Oh, you can't do it," then that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. Whereas you become an idiot.
Yeah. Whereas if you speak words, because ultimately you can.
So
you can,
what beautiful things do you say to yourself?
Okay. So it's not the same every day.
Okay.
But
just give us an example.
Okay. Even if it's just something like I'm about to go into a meeting and it's Samuel, you got this. You got this.
Yeah.
You're the man. You know, that's speaking to yourself. Or even if it's just a case of, like, let's say I'm going into something and I want to inspire people, it might just be a case of, you know, Samuel, you know, I am an inspirational person.
Yeah.
You know, I am an inspirational person. My heart is to help people. My heart is to, and I'm saying this over myself. It's true, but it's becoming even more true as I'm saying it over myself.
Yeah, you're putting the focus, your attention on that.
Yeah.
And therefore it expands it.
And what even like when I do videos about what I'm going to buy next year in property, this is what I'm buying next year. Our company will turn over 100 million.
So you kind of mix that with your goals.
I think
the declarations and your goals.
Yeah.
You mix them together.
Yeah. Yeah, it is the same.
Yeah.
It's the same.
I do write, for instance. That's one of the things I do. For instance, I do write every day.
You have to write down
all my goals and declarations.
And you shouldn't have too many goals, man. Just have like four or five things. Like people have like a to-do list at the beginning of January, a big long to-do list. And it's just so stupid because, listen, here's how I do it. I just think, in 2020, if I was to achieve four or five things, what would make that a friggin' phenomenal year? If I just achieved two or three things, okay, well, maybe it would be to turn over X amount with my company, to buy X amount of houses, and then to inspire X amount of people and see these results, or just whatever it might be. Or I want to, in 2020, what would need to happen for it to be a great year? To quit my job and go full-time into property and to get my first three houses. Like, okay, if that happened, it'd be a great year. Okay, don't think about anything else this year. Nothing else matters. Just that. And if that doesn't happen, you die. And every single conversation you have on the phone, every single business meeting you have, every time, every evening, every spare bit of time, everything is got to be in line with these goals.
Yeah.
And then it will happen. And then you live a great year. And then you don't need to have 100 things on your to-do list and then go, oh, I only achieved 3. And guess what? If you have 20 things on the to-do list and say 4 of them are like, oh, yeah, they're the big ones, you will not do those ones. You'll do the easy ones that you were going to do anyway habitually, and then you'll tick them off and you'll think, oh, and then the same year, year after year, yeah, you'll be left not doing the big things that count.
Yeah, because the habit and it's comfortable.
Yeah, it's comfortable. It's don't write shit on there that you're going to do anyway.
Yeah.
Write stuff on there that's really big, yeah, but only 2 or 3 things or 4, and then that's
but
it.
Even that exercise is uncomfortable for some people because that means they have to even consider and thinking outside the box and be imaginative.
Yeah, and also another thing, tell everybody what they are.
Yeah, I like that one.
Tell everybody. Even the solicitors, what did the solicitors say to me last week? Remember, where they were like, you can't tell people that? You were there.
People are telling you that every day.
Like, you can't tell people that. Samuel Lee, they were telling me that. Yeah. So I'm being advised by the best solicitors in the country.
You just heard that just before the podcast downstairs.
Just heard what?
With Marie.
What did she say?
The same sentence.
Yep.
You cannot tell people that.
Yep, with stuff that I'm doing and with stuff that I want to do. Everyone says that to me all the time. The best consultants, the best lawyers in the country, they're like, I can't believe you just said that. You know, all the elite, the rich and famous, don't tell people what you buy in.
Yeah, you're pushing boundaries and that's amazing.
They don't
amazing.
Like it. They tell me that it's wrong and sometimes I have to listen to them because I'm paying for them to advise me, but I'm just like, my gut feeling just tells me to tell the world. My gut feeling just tells me, don't hide.
There he is, sharing and
don't
giving
hide.
And going
tell
around.
The world, rustle some feathers. Because the thing is, everything I'm standing for is actually anti the system.
Yeah.
And it's offensive.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling people that the education system's wrong, the government's wrong. I'm telling people that the universities and the elite, everything is set up for people to be poor and for people to be slaves. And I'm saying this is the real way. I'm saying, you know, you're studying hard at school, getting good grades to get a good job. And then and a good job for life that, by the way, doesn't exist. And then to retire one day. Look forward to retirement because that's where it, all the good stuff happens. This constant lie of society the strings are pulled by the elite and it's offensive. And me saying, actually, this is the true way. Actually, anyone can be financially free and it's very easy. You don't have to have millions of pounds in the bank. Here's how you become financially free. It's an offensive message and people shut me down. And even my success students that become financially free want me shut down.
Yeah.
Which did you catch that?
Yeah.
They become financially free and then they become rich and then those same people want me down.
They want to protect whatever they gained.
Yeah. Because they're thinking, "Oh my gosh, I've done it. Samuel's done it. He's helped me." But let's go a bit hush hush. Samuel, I think you should start charging
There's
for the crash.
Way too much abundance in this world for everyone.
I think you should start charging for the crash courses now. Don't make it available for everybody.
Oh my God.
You know, don't make it free. Don't say that on YouTube. Don't. And I'm just thinking, you know what? I don't care. Because I don't know what the consequences of my actions are going to be in my words, me teaching everything and me showing people. People will watch me become a billionaire. And they'll watch me and then I'll give them the blueprint and I'll tell everyone how to do it. And I don't know what the consequence of that on the planet is going to be. And maybe I am completely crazy and ridiculous even speaking. Who do I think I am? As if I'm going to change the world. Come on, Samuel, get real. You're just a working class kid. But the thing is, I don't feel guilty because Steve Jobs says those people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are those that actually do. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I just think you're crazy.
I am crazy. Let's see what happens.
Let's see what
happens. Mark my words. Watch this space.
I know you guys.
I love you so much.
Me too.